Launching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed, here is your host, Steve Starrs.
Monday, everybody, and I am Steve Starrs. Glad to be back with you on Lightspeed here on RBN. We're off to another. This week's getting off to a bang quite a bit, as you know. The escalation of the tense situation there in Ukraine continues, and I don't know if you saw the announcement. Of course, Trump is always making some. Sort of a rather exaggerated point of view, but I think he is correct. And he said that this entire thing could be negotiated as a peace deal in 24 hours, which is one of the most constructive things he has said since the election, I think, because the reality is what is going on over there needs to stop right away. We all know that. I think we are all well aware of that. There's reports out now that Ukraine is, they're admitting, of course, that some of these biolabs have been over there all this time, and they're moving them in other locations. We could talk a little bit about that. But I'm here to just kind of share some of the things going on around us. I do the show once a week here, and I occasionally sit in for other hosts here on the network because I'm volunteering my time. I want to volunteer my time to help RBN. You folks are the greatest out there. You're listening. You've been following this network for years. We can't let the truth go down. Our First Amendment is under attack. And just like Matt Drudge had said, I guess it's probably 7 or 8 years ago, when he was taken out to dinner by an unknown, but probably it was Antonin Scalia, the unknown justice from the Supreme Court, out to dinner. He didn't identify the judge, but he said this judge told him that they are coming after your First Amendment. Everybody said, oh, no, they can't do that. Not with the Internet, not with everything. Well, now we're seeing it, of course. There is some backlash against that with Elon Musk. We'll talk a little bit about him maybe, too. But, you know, John Rappaport is one of my favorite people. You know, nomorefakenews.com. I can tell you that. John goes way back to 86 and 87 era covering the news, and he was one of the first people out there to identify the problems with Fauci's HIV disease that they called AIDS. The Centers for Disease Control had been conducting surveys in the early 80s on these people who were developing immune deficiency, and they had found out that about 95% of them could be explained by drug use. Most of them were either gay men in the fast-track lifestyle using poppers, nitrate, inhalants, of course, which are known to be immunosuppressive. They actually use those in experiments to induce immunosuppression in animals and on a moderated, you know, mediated scale as well. But, you know, that was one of the problems that they had at that time with the gay men using poppers quite a bit extensively in the bathhouse scene at that time. They were also using a lot of other drugs, IV drugs included. And then they had people who were shooting drugs, IV drugs, who had the long-term use of IV drugs, recreational drugs. And, you know, if you shoot drugs for about 10 years, it's going to affect your immune system. Is that kind of a no-brainer? So these were the people who had what they called acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or this strange new disease. But Fauci came along and created a germ scare out of all this, and they needed a germ to blame. And so what they did was they called a press conference together. They had stolen a viral sample from Dr. Luc Montagnier at the Pasteur Institute in Paris, who had sent them this sample. And of course, you may have heard the story from Judy Mikovits and some others. They needed something to sell as the germ that caused all this. And so they stole this sample, kind of relabeled it. A whole lot of information that came out about that, and said that we have found the probable cause of AIDS. This is Margaret Heckler, April 23rd, 1984. The probable cause of AIDS, not a probable cause. Notice that? Very, 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 you know, the way this was enunciated, you know, the nomenclature of the scare tactic was the probable cause of AIDS. The cause of AIDS. We found the cause of AIDS. Not a probable even, which is barely mentioned, but even at that time. And so they were patenting the antibody blood test there before the scientific research had even been released. And it took about a week or so later, and it was released in, I believe it was a Science magazine. And but they found out that more than half of the people who were AIDS patients didn't even have the virus or didn't test positive for the antibody for it. So it was the first question there. And then, of course, they later found out that half the people with HIV were female. The Army tested that, and they found out that later on, and then they realized that, well, wait a minute, that was the Army began to test new recruits, and they said that that's odd that 51% of the people with HIV are female, and 95% of the AIDS patients are male. And of the women who are AIDS patients, we find that about 75% of them are IV drug users. So you see, the Centers for Disease Control had initially come up with the right answer, but remember, whenever CDC does the great work they do, and it goes against what's the political front office explanation, they always go with the lie and cover it up. The Centers for Disease Control is notorious for doing the great research that they do and then turning it right around and turning it into a lie, which is what they did with COVID. So getting back to that, I don't want to rehash that too much. If you listen to the show with me, you've heard it over and over. And I go back to chasing Fauci since 1992. Well, John Rappaport was one of the first people in 86. He and Celia Farber, Joan Shinton, a number of others, and a brilliant scientist by the name of Dr. Peter Duesberg, who was the man who discovered oncogenes with retroviruses. You probably heard this all before if you listen to the show with me. But the bottom line is this. You know, they ignored all science to put this program in, and Fauci began his operation, escalating himself at that time from just a high official and research, which you might call a research overseer at the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Disease, to become the head of National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, is NIAID, if you call it, I think is the acronym, the pronunciation. But Fauci's been there since 1984, all this time. John Rappaport was covering these stories back then. And, you know, he has got a pretty interesting article out called No More Fake News that talks about the nanoparticle change or paradigm shift of life around here. And so he goes into nanoparticles in chemistry and in medicine, nanoparticles in electronics, nanoparticles in farming and agriculture, nanoparticles everywhere. They're either biological or chemical or electrical. And it's going to be a revolution that was very similar to the transistor revolution that some of you may recall. Unfortunately, I have to say I do. When transistor radios came out in probably late 50s, actually the early 60s, the transistor radio, where we began putting all these tubes and wires into little small transistor chips, and we could build things very small with transistors. Well, now we're going 1,000 times smaller with nanoparticles is what's happening. And I think you probably know this. You're probably well aware of this already, but you know, you may not make the complete association. So we have the syntax of all of this. The nanoparticle revolution is where we are headed. Pretty good article that I read there on his website. I just thought I'd bring that up as a beginning point today. Maybe consider that where we are right now with biological weaponry, mRNA, nanoparticles that are reactive with electromagnetic radiation, graphene oxide, we know about that. Nanoparticles that will be used in gene editing, nanoparticles that will be used in wiring your mind up to Elon Musk's AI supermind or whatever it is. I don't know if he's going to go that far or not. But we got nanoparticles everywhere, and this is where we're headed. And there's no turning back. I mean, you're not going to get rid of these things very easily. Meanwhile, we have chickens that won't lay eggs. You know, have you seen that? All across the country, I mean, this is massive. There are places, poultry farms and, you know, just little farms of people who have eggs and have been feeding their chickens this standard feed that they have been receiving and has been normally pretty good, now are finding out that they have gone months without eggs being laid, some of these hens. So, I mean, they're attacking the poultry industry now, too, as well as the beef and the pork and everything else that they market, lamb, mutton, everything is on the larger scale. Vascular meat animals are being attacked as well, as far as a supply to all of us as food. So the food supply is under attack as well. And we don't know, I don't know what the exact calculation on how many of our laying hens are no longer providing eggs, but you know that the price of eggs has gone up quite a bit in the supermarket. It costs an arm and an egg to pay for anything these days, right? I saw that little cartoon. Maybe you saw it too. But anyhow, it's getting more expensive, and so they're trying to put pressure on our food supply with the same kind of technology. And in this case, it is what you might call agricultural attack. So we have all these things happening, and Trump has said that the situation in Ukraine, and he said he could even rub Lindsey Graham's nose in it, should stop immediately, and this should be negotiated as a peace deal within 24 hours. He said this could be resolved in 24 hours and should be. We are on the crux of inciting a very massive, major war over there for absolutely no reason at all. And I bring that up in the context of saying that I think it's time to call your House representatives and senators. If you have Republican senators, I don't have Republican senators out here in Colorado. We had one, but we lost it. And the state has been overrun by actually very powerful Democrats here. The state is in bad shape right now. And but I did talk to Ken Buck quite a while ago. He's on the House Judiciary Committee. He was a former DA in our area. And I explained to him that there is absolutely no excuse at all for Joe Biden to be president of the United States. Why aren't you doing your job? I see. By the Constitution, there are three things that he's in violation of. One, high crimes and misdemeanors. Not Joe Biden. Yeah, obviously high crimes and misdemeanors. This goes back before, by the way, the whole 2016 election as well. It was never stopped. Then there is bribery. Joe Biden, remember that? Well, son of a bitch, they fired him. Joe Biden boasting at the Council on Foreign Relations on how he bribed the Ukrainian government to fire a prosecutor who was after his son with $1 billion a year money in aid. Okay, bribery. The third is treason. Yeah, treason, because what you have here amounts to that, no matter how you know, where Joe Biden fits in all along the lines of either initiating, enacting, or acts of treason, meaning being a part of it. Joe Biden is guilty of treason. There's three strikes, he's out right there. Finally, Amendment 25. You know, that keeps crackpot, idiot, old, senile pieces of whatever you want to call him from being in a place like a position like this where they can set off an international world war. Hello? Hello? Yeah, Amendment 25 is designed to keep idiots and imbeciles out of the presidential's office. Okay, then finally, oh yeah, there's the election, what they called an election, which was a scam, an incredible scam. Anybody with two brain cells ought to be able to figure out that Joe Biden did not get 81 million votes. No way. I mean, you can see it's evident everywhere. Even the head of the National Election Commission, I think his name was Trey Traynor, said the morning after that this election was compromised. You know, people have, and the damn media keeps lying about this all the time, as if we're out of our minds for recognizing the obvious. Oh, anyhow, you can see it all coming, and we know what's happening here. We're in a mess, but I call for Biden's impeachment immediately. We're coming up on the Groundhog Day deadline, the first one I said that would pass, and I said the Republicans need to file impeachment immediately, not because it's politically, tit for tat, not because they did it to Trump, and now the Republicans need to do it to Biden, but because it's right, and we have to do it because we've got a maniac with the red button that can set off a very serious problem here. Everybody knows this thing is out of control. We've got to do something to stop it, ladies and gentlemen. So that is kind of where we're coming from with all of this. We've got a lot of issues to deal with here, and I have called my representatives, and the reason why I brought that up was because I said you need to call them and say Biden needs to be impeached immediately. Immediately, immediately. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. We need to get on the phone and start talking to these people. You say, well, they won't listen. Well, you'd be surprised. You get enough people that start piling up on the phones, start sending them facts. By the way, if you're not a constituent in one of these House representatives areas, they won't really listen to your email. They just trash it. But you can fax them, and you can call them, and you can write them. We need to contact these people. We need to put pressure on them. Biden needs to be yanked out of there immediately. This man is a dangerous maniac, friends, and it's going to get worse if we don't stop it. And so we're off to a real heavy, hard start this week. I said if he is not under impeachment by Groundhog Day. I will be coming after the Democrats, and this week will mark Groundhog Day, friends. Then I'm going to extend it out to Valentine's Day, and I'm going to get more and more vociferous and angry as I go, and I'm going to dig out these damn Republicans who have not been doing their jobs, one of which was my former congressman, Ken Buck, used to be a DA here in the county that I live in. As a matter of fact, I served on a grand jury just recently. We've been released. We had several cases. I know the DA here. Well, I actually don't know him, but I talked to him a bit when I was on a grand jury about some things. I mean, there's no excuse for Ken Buck. You know, this guy who used to be, you know, a conservative Republican, he was robbed of an election for Senate, I believe, back in when Michael Bennett took over as the senator in Colorado, when things happened really squirrely in the middle of the night in one county in particular, a county that voted for all the Republicans in other offices, but suddenly swung one different direction, and that was against him for U.S. Senate. So he was robbed himself, and yet the guy won't, it's too, such a fat ass, he won't even get up and argue on behalf of the things that he needs to be doing. These Republicans make me sick. I'm telling you, I'm coming after them. I'm harder on them than I am the brain-dead Democrats, friends. I'm going to be harder on them. Well, you can't do that because then the Democrats will win. Well, what damn difference has it made here? I mean, come on. Tell me something that I can see that's going to turn things around here that's actually a difference that we can see from the Republican Party. I haven't seen anything since Trump was elected. I mean, he did get the wall built for a little while. He got us out of the World Health Organization for a bit. I'm not saying all the things he did were bad. His latest statement about resolving this situation in Ukraine in 24 hours may be more Donald Trump blather. But it is certainly right on and pertinent to exactly what needs to be done right now. I'm not a Trump hater, friends. I like him. I want him. I tried to support him. But the problem is he's let us all down over and over, especially with that damn jab. His warp speed disaster. You know, I mean, this is something that he needs to repent of and get it out of the way. Anyhow, I want to support the guy when he does the right things. And what he said recently was correct. We need to end this situation in Ukraine immediately. And we need to put pressure on Congress to get it over with. And the maniac with that red button, with the atomic football, if you like, has got to be taken out of there. This guy is dangerous. He is an incredibly dangerous person, and we cannot afford to let this man run things any longer. What about Camelia? Well, she needs to go, too. I mean, this has to happen immediately. The Republicans need to get right on it. Instead, they want to talk about the Republican committee. Oh, I know about it. Yeah. We'll get into that. But the reality is there's a lot of other issues, and, you know, and the gain of function, yeah, that should be caught up with right away. Get into that. Going back to Fauci. Fauci has been around murdering people since 1984, ladies and gentlemen. 1984. Some people have said, well, you know, they can't fire Fauci. Hell yes, they can. They can pull him down and hold him accountable, really. But the president has always had authority to fire Fauci. Well, he doesn't have to fire him directly. He fires both of his bosses, Francis Collins at NIH, Alex Azar, head of Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services now under attack and under problems for what happened here. Who was head of bioethics committee at the NIH? Her name was Christine Grady. You know Christine Grady? She has another name. Christine Grady Fauci. Fauci's wife was in charge of the bioethics at the NIH. I have seen nothing and not enough of her name in the print. I've been saying this all along. I wrote Rand Paul a long time ago, and I said, hey, how about his wife? She needs to be answering questions. She was in charge of bioethics at NIH. Now, she's not a doctor. She was a nurse that Fauci hooked up with a long time ago, but the spotlight needs to be on her, too, right now, and I can't see it in these articles. Where's her name? How come she's missing? This needs to come on home. You know, the chickens need to roost again. All right, friends. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us right here on Lightspeed.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
The first Oath Keepers trial over January 6 is over. What happened? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I have been following the plight of disabled American veteran Kenneth Harrelson for several months now. Harrelson was arrested in March of 2021 for his part on January 6th. The VA cut off his benefits 3 months ago at the urging of the Biden Justice Department, a month before Harrelson even went to trial. After spending 630 days in a DC jail under COVID lockdowns the entire time, the verdict is in. Harrelson was convicted on 3 of the 6 charges against him, but acquitted of the seditious conspiracy charge that the Justice Department cited to the VA as the reason for cutting his benefits. Angel Harrelson has not had her husband's income for 3 months. She has not seen her husband face to face since he was arrested over 630 days ago. Harrelson was denied bail and visitation. And now, the District of Columbia has filed a civil suit against Harrelson and others. Please help Angel Harrelson by donating at givesendgo.com/G22ZH. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Off to another rocking start here. I think I was pretty rambunctious getting into the show, but you can tell that I've been having some angst issues about what's going on here right at the moment. Not because I'm frazzled, but because I'm razzle-dazzled and angry about the situation as far as it's gone so far. As I said before, I wanted to see some real action from Republicans immediately. As a matter of fact, I'm demanding it. I'm demanding it. And I'm tired of excuses. I don't want to hear any more about, you know, so many of these minor details, of course, that are going on. They want to drag this out into another 2 or 3 year witch hunt and spend all this money looking at Hunter Biden's pornographic laptop or whatever the situation is pertaining to all of the things that were there years ago that they didn't do anything with. That is not the point. Right now, we've got to stop a major war from happening. We've got an economy crashing. We've got all kinds of things that are happening to our food supply. Look at the water situation, of course. You know, they've got a lot of rain out in California, but apparently they still don't have enough water, they're saying, probably because it's mismanagement. They want water from Colorado. Here I am out in Colorado, and we have had some cold weather, quite a bit of cold weather. As a matter of fact, the wind chill is below zero today. The sun is shining for a change, but it's still cold out there. I don't know how it is where you are, but they're looking at power shortages in Texas. Things are happening around the country. We have more natural gas than we can burn and use in the next 140 years, but they've raised the price twice at least, 100%, that is, above what it was. We're paying twice as much now for that here. I don't know if you are. I might take some calls to hear some thoughts from you out there if you want to voice up. But the bottom line is we have to get on the stick and we have to put these people under pressure. Some people say they won't listen. They won't. No, yes, they will. Yes, they will. But it takes a lot of people and a lot of pressure to get them to cooperate in Washington. Do I believe Washington has solutions for us? No, I don't. In the Civil War, as you know, it was geographic. The South did not like the way things were going. They decided they want to go on their own. There was no way to remedy the situation peacefully. As a result, it turned into a disaster, the situation there. It should have never turned into what it was, but it did, because people on both sides, well, primarily it was foreign interests that were behind the whole thing to begin with. That was what we were dealing with. And the same enemies today, the Vatican and Rothschild Bank. At that time, you had Judah Benjamin, you know, who's a big money man supporter in the South. And then you had also, you know, the papacy, the Vatican, was very involved in the only actual monarchy that, in Europe that supported the Confederacy was the Vatican. And then you had the problems, of course, with the international banking people dealing with the Rothschild money there at that time, trying to get a hold of the United States by driving us into debt at 30%. Lincoln turned them down, printed our own money, and got out of it, which we should have stayed with. And now we're back involved with the damn banks. We didn't learn anything. Anyhow, the situation being there is that at that time it was geographic. You know, and it's geographic again. Only this time what's happened is D.C. has rebelled and revolted against all of us. What's happened this time. This time it's that little 10 square miles, that whore district of Columbia that is running things. Who the hell is Columbia anyway? Have you noticed that? Hey, what kind of a pagan image is this that they you see it everywhere. Columbia Records, Columbia Broadcasting, you know, like C-S-E-E-B-S, CBS. I mean, you see all this everywhere, and you wonder, where did this figmentary image of liberty or libertius or whoever these old pagan ideas, how did they get on top of our buildings, and how did they end up running our country? Well, it's nothing more than the mystery whore of Babylon, friends, is what it is. Now, are we Babylon? Some people believe we are. No, I believe what we are is we have people who are the kings of the earth in bed with this prostitution outfit. That's what's happening here. That's why we have seven members of the Supreme Court who are Catholic and two Jews. There are no Protestants left. What about Gorsuch? Isn't he sort of an evangelical? Yes, he is, but he went to the same Jesuit prep school that Kavanaugh did after Kavanaugh went there. So out here in Colorado, we know Gorsuch pretty well because his family owns a lot of property and money, and they've been around for a long time, you might say. I'm not saying Gorsuch is a bad guy. To some extent, he is an originalist. I mean, some of these guys could go either way. Where Trump made his big mistake, though, was appointing Amy Coney Barrett instead of Barbara Lagoa from, who was a Catholic woman, by the way, a wonderful Hispanic Catholic woman from Florida, who was the one who argued for the Ilani Gonzalez case. Remember the little boy from Cuba who was over here, and they were demanding that he be returned to his father in Cuba? Would have been better if his father could have come over here with him. But they ended up sending the little boy back. She was one of those people. She had a lot of experience on the 11th Circuit there in Florida, done very well as a justice, and would have been a great lady to have taken that position. Trump was advised to pick her as a good, solid conservative. Instead, he picked a Notre Dame, if you ask me, who was Amy Coney Barrett. So that's who we had there, and that was the situation that evolved out of that, and that's one of the reasons why this woman could not handle the situation in the election and failed. Okay, it looks like we're going to hit a break, and coming right back, I think we got Lark in Texas holding on. Be right back, and we'll take some calls.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
On a birthday cake next year. Thought by now I should have a man, 2 car seats and a minivan, but I still ain't here. Hey!
Yeah! You gotta make it happen.
Got to make it happen, and that's what we're doing right here at RBN. Steve Starrs here with you on Light Speed Times 2. What is light speed times two? Well, it's twice the speed of light, and I suppose that's where we need to go to change things, because we got to move pretty quickly. Friends, we don't have time to fool around. It is shaping up to be very bad very quick, and we're going to be talking about solutions. We're going to hear from you. I've got Lark hanging on, I think, right now from Texas. Let's get him on. Lark, we haven't talked to you for a long time. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Steve. How are you?
Good. Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Listen, I want to draw you and your listeners' attention back to Christine Grady.
Yes.
Mrs. Anthony Fauci.
Right.
Now, first of all, Christine Grady, along with her fellow bioethicist Ezekiel Emanuel, are both admitted communitarians. Now, in case people have forgotten, Ezekiel Emanuel is the one behind the duty to die principle in the Obamacare package, so-called. Mm. Okay? And the thing to remember, too, is Anthony Fauci is slated to retire at the end of the year. But guess who is going to be taking his place? One Hugh Auchincloss. And that's spelled A-U-C-H-I-N-C-L-O-S-S. Hugh Auchincloss. Now, in the same way that Anthony Fauci worked hand in glove with his wife, Christine Grady, who headed up the bioethics division at the NIH, remember?
Yeah.
Hugh Auchincloss is going to be working with his daughter, Kayla. And that's spelled K-A-L-A-H, Kayla. And so you can read something on the internet. Daughter of Hugh Auchincloss, who replaces Tony Fauci, gets paid by Big Pharma. But this is how she gets paid now.
Wow.
She gets paid for providing, quote-unquote, access to the FDA for gene therapy companies.
Wow.
There we go. Hugh Auchincloss, daughter Kayla, K-A-L-A-H. And that's the level of corruption. And the subtitle of this particular article, again, daughter of Hugh Auchincloss, who replaces Tony Fauci, gets paid by Big Pharma. Is this corruption or the new normal? Well, it is the new normal in a communitarian system, Steve.
Sure is.
Because, yeah, that's absolutely right, because we're smack dab in the middle of it.
Wow.
We are in a communitarian system that is undergirded by communitarian law. Now, for the listeners that are not up to speed, do a search or just do real simple. What is communitarianism? What is communitarian law? And if you want the cliff notes, read every word in under an hour. You can go to my website. It's called tinyurl.com/LarkinTexas, no separation. And we can get up to speed. You also need to remember that, and I want to get back to the Supreme Court real quick, but without taking too much time.
No, keep going. Great stuff.
The guy that was behind the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that did most of the writing of it, was a man by the name of Jonathan Gruber, spelled G-R-U-B-E-R. The man who was behind and did most of the writing of what we know today is Common Core is a man by the name of David Coleman. Now, look these two gentlemen up, okay? And then let's go back and revisit this question about who's sitting on the Supreme Court today. I believe you mentioned 7 Catholics and 2 Jewish people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think if you look at that a little bit more carefully, you're going to discover that some of those Roman Catholics are actually crypto-Jews.
Very, very likely.
Gorsuch, that's because their mothers, they were raised Jewish, their mothers were Jewish, they converted to Roman Catholicism because it made them blend in a little easier. But the Supreme Court today is weighted by Jews. And the reason that there are no Protestants on the Supreme Court, here's one suggestion, is because Jews are familiar with something called PILPUL. P-I-L-P-U-L. On the internet, do a search. PILPUL for beginners. PILPUL for beginners. Again, P-I-L-P-U-L. And there you're going to learn the Roman Catholic equivalent to PILPUL is something called casuistry. And that's spelled C-A-S-U-I-S-T-R-Y. These words roughly translate as interpretation of meaning. They are words just like exegesis, eisegesis, heuristics, hermeneutics, and casuistry, PILPUL, and today, algorithm. Okay? Interpretation of meaning. That's basically what these words represent. And so what we're talking about is the system in which the language can be manipulated at will in such a way that, generally speaking, only attorneys and doctors know how to do. and scientists that are being paid by, whore scientists that are being paid by Big Pharma or, you know, who knows what else. So what we have to do is recognize that you can also listen to something on the internet, 29 minutes. It's called Communitarianism, Tyranny with a Smiley Face. And when we talk about a smiley face, we're talking about these grin technologies, so-called. That would be genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech.
Yeah.
So
kind of where we were going at the beginning, with the nanotech revolution, as they call it. Casuistry, another term is commonly associated with Jesuitisms, the art of manipulating words, of course, and the art of using craft and skill to deceive people, of course, is what it is, too. That's really great. One more time, before people forget, get your pencil and pad out again, Lark. What is your website?
Yeah, remember, I'm not dead yet, y'all.
Okay.
I haven't gone away. I've been around on this network since 2009. Yeah. And until I drop dead, I'm going to continue to pester everything and everybody connected to this network. But
that's
the
good.
Web address is very simple. It's tinyurl.com. Say it in your mind. Tinyurl.com.
Easy.
Forward slash Larkin, Texas. Or just do a search, three words, Lark, I-N, Texas. I'm easily found. Okay, and I'm nobody special, but you know what? I care, and I've been researching these topics for 18 plus years.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm no dummy.
Oh, no. Let's talk about communitarianism again, though. I mean, at root, the word almost sounds like communism, but it's more small. It's small in design in terms of community, though, right?
It's a little more fancified up than that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The word community or communal was decided on because it's a nice cosseting word that sounds really nice. Don't you want to be part of a nice community, Steve?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It takes a community to raise a child. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know something. I've done expensive talks about this, and there's evidence of it on the internet. I haven't gotten out there like I would like to because I hate this technology. I'm addicted to it, and I'm damn mad that I'm addicted to it. But this technology is what is going to enslave us all. If it wasn't for this technology, and I'm not talking about just internet or information technology, okay, in the information age. I'm talking about genetics, which today is about eugenics. Eugenics. At my website, there's an entry. It's called Eugenics and eusociality, that's EU sociality. They're trying to breed independence out of us. They're trying to enslave us into this worldwide web called the virtual reality world.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a creature in nature that flies or crawls, and you become embedded in the web of a spider, if you don't have a leg or an arm hanging outside of that web in which to extricate yourself from it, then you're going to become food for the spider. Whenever he gets around to it, you can flail around all you want, and you'll finally get tired, and you'll give up, okay? But the spider will just come along whenever he feels like it and just suck you dry. And you're going to be left with just a shell of your former self. But this is what's going to happen to all of us if we don't wake the clock up and realize that we are being enslaved as we speak. And you want to know who the primary enemy of the American people is? It's the American people themselves.
To a large extent, I agree. And I think what happens is the media takes advantage of our weaknesses and exploits that, of course, and makes that the mainstay so that we don't have any alternative voices. We're not looking at what's going on. We're not catching on to these things. And this communitarianism that you've talked about, I've done some research on it, looking, some of those short pages and the readouts that they're out there, and obviously it's very real. It's what's happening, and it's happening in local communities with mayors involved in the UN. How did all these United Nations tentacles reach out and grab mayors in small towns, which is really strange?
It's real simple. It's real simple. It's called the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
Yes.
It's called the National Governors Association. The very first broadcast I did on this network in 2011, I spoke about it. The word is syndicalism.
Yeah.
A syndicalism is synonymous with trade unionism. But see, the average American, when they think of a trade union or syndicalist trade group, they think of like the Wobblies or something from the 30s. They think about the teachers. They think about the miners, the dock workers, the iron workers, and the truck drivers and so forth.
But
what they don't realize, the important thing to realize is that there are white-collar trade, professional trade associations. The American Bar Association, the American Medical Association, National Governors Association, U.S. Conference of Mayors. There are thousands of them. And these people are not going to go against the diktats of the leadership of their particular organization because they fear ostracization.
Yeah.
They can lose their license. They can lose their permits. Mm-hmm. And that's why we live in a time of, it's like the mafiosi took over your town.
Yeah.
And the pervasive code is the code of omerta, the code of silence. You dare not speak out. And that's what's taken over America. It's organized crime writ large. And your friendly family doctor, your friendly family attorney, maybe your daughter, your son. You know, and look at all these people in tech.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think these people are paid so much coming right out of college? Because they want everybody to have a damn cell phone or a chip stuck right up their arse.
Yeah, and I happen to know that very personally. I don't want to get too personal, but my son is, you know, has got a degree in computer software engineering. He's very well paid right now. And, you know, he's a bright boy. He's a good young man. But the problem is he's absolutely brain dead when it comes to what's politically happening right at the moment. You know, I mean, he can't.
He's serving the interest of the enemy. That's all there is to it. Just like every school teacher in America, okay, every medical doctor, every nurse, they're serving the interests of the enemy. You know why? Because we live in a killing field. We're being poisoned from the air, from our water taps, the oceans, the airwaves, the TV.
Media. Yep, mm-hmm. Right.
Because we are at war. We are in a war, and we are the targets any way you slice it. If you visit my website, read it, little bits at a time. Chew on it, digest it, and then you decide whether if it makes any sense or not. But that's the long and the short of it in one phone call, Steve.
tinyurl.com/Lark, right?
Lark in Texas.
Lark in Texas. All right, yeah. I'll get over there. I haven't, you know, you've been on and we've talked, I guess it's, gosh, how many years ago we were on together doing shows here at RBN. I know Lark's been around, ladies and gentlemen. He knows his stuff, you know, so it was good to hear from you. Are you still doing a show here on the network? Or?
No, nobody wants to listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm getting a little cynical as I get older.
Well, happens.
And I did a show last night from some guy in Canada that hosted it. And I was rather nasty to him. I said, wouldn't you rather be talking about the Freemasons or the reptilian? How about the mudflood?
Yeah. Well, there's the outgrowth of all of these things, but the reality of the paperwork that backs all this that you're talking about is really deep-seated in the deep state, right?
Well, let's not use this language, okay? Forgive me for saying so. The deep state.
Yeah.
Okay? We can actually name these people.
Yeah.
Okay? And a lot of them are not famous. They're not on anybody's radar screen. But guess what? They could be your neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay, they could be your son, your daughter.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, communitarianism is a system in which the people themselves are pitted against one another. It's no joke. I'm not exaggerating. These large corporations, these big military establishments, these people are divided. They are compartmentalized. They don't know what the left hand and the right hand is doing. They're just doing their J-O-B. Okay, because they want to get ahead. And you want to know who the biggest criminals in America are? They're the people wearing the power suits. They're leading the charge.
Yeah, that's right.
John Maynard Keynes said himself, John Maynard Keynes, in an address after the end of World War II at Harvard, he said that the Marxian socialists had it all wrong because they were trying to appeal to the wage slaves, to the laboring class. The hope was that they could organize them in significant numbers with their pitchforks and storm the Bastille. Right. But that's not how the Fabians saw it. Okay, they saw that they would target the trust fund babies, the celebrities, the beautiful people, you know, the influencers, the people that were anxious and eager beaver to get ahead, the ones with the credentials, you know, the careerists, the opportunists, because they knew these were the people that were easily the most malleable and conformist to an agenda that would which would win them quote unquote success.
So gotta run, buddy.
If they're wearing a power suit, they're the enemy.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Well, hey, welcome back to Lightspeed. Steve Starr is here with us. I think if Lark is still hanging, Lark, you got maybe a minute or so. You want to give us one more comment? I want to get to Frank really quick if you're still there, Lark. Oh, Lark is gone. Okay, let's get to Frank then. Frank in New York, I believe. Frank, are you there?
I am, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, good to hear from you.
Okay, brother. I got a theory, Steve. Okay? You know, remember when Biden was going up those steps up to the airplane, he fell like 3 times?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Okay, and then you remember he was on his bike and he fell on the bike and they were all right there when he dipped?
Yeah, right.
I think they're setting it up, Steve. They're going to come out and say that he had a fall in the White House and his mental capacities aren't there, and he'll come out and say, I'm not, I can't think straight all the time, so I think I'm going to step aside, okay? Yeah. You know, but the thing is how Hillary's going to try to get in there, you know. Remember Filegate?
That yeah, was back in the Comey affair, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it was Cliff Livingstone. Bill Clinton was the president at the time, okay? He brought Livingstone in to head up the security for the White House. Livingstone broke into the FBI files. It was called Filegate. He got all of the dirt on these people. Most of them, I think there's like 900 politicians, you know. So Hillary's got the upper hand. That's why nothing ever happens to her. You know, she's Teflon. You know what I mean? Her and Bill. And they got the information on all of these people. And a lot of these people, I mean, there's a lot of good people in Congress, but, you know, there's a lot of them who have checkered pasts, and maybe a few of them are down in Pedo Island, who knows, you know. You know, because you can't tell who's been down there. You know, when Bill Barr, you know, Bill Barr's father ran a school where he had Jeffrey Epstein as a teacher. I'm sure you're aware of that.
No, I didn't know that. I do know that Bill Barr was involved with all the... Yeah, go ahead, though. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but anyway, Bill Barr's father who ran it, okay? Anyway, you know, when Bill Barr busted Jeffrey Epstein, you know, they went into his Manhattan offices and they took out, you know, all of his computers and all of the equipment and stuff, okay? But they waited 2 weeks before they went down to the island down there, okay, to check out what might be taking place there. I mean, we all knew what was going on. Obviously, they knew what was going on. I think they gave him 2 weeks to clean that up so they could get it out of there and, you know, try to keep things, you know, undercover here. You know, Steve, the elephant in the room is Jeffrey Epstein's clientele. You know, we never hear anything. Where's the media? You know, where's somebody out there saying, hey, we want to find out, you know, who are these people? These people financed Epstein, and what did he do? Ruined the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of young girls, basically? I mean, you know, these people got to be uncovered. We got to get people out there pressing the issue. You know, I mean, I know you guys can, but, I mean, we've got to get, you know, like NBC, CBS, one of these people to step up and say, hey, you know, I mean, we hear about Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, you know what I mean, and I guess... Mr. Dershowitz was down there, but he was just walking around in his underwear, and, you know, he wants the cameras to come out and show that. But I wouldn't want to see that, brother, believe that, you know. But, you know, the influence that Hillary's got, you know, I wouldn't doubt if she could wrangle her way in there, you know what I mean, if he steps aside to say, okay, you know what, I'll be VP, you know what I mean? You know, get her in there, and then, you know, get Camp Kamala out of there. I don't know how they're going to pull that off, okay? That's a real wild theory. I mean, the one I got is pretty strange, but I think it's got some possibilities, you know what I mean? They could come out, let him get off the hook without just saying, hey, look at me, you don't know where you are, you're terrible, you got to go, you know what I mean? This way, it gives him a little way to gracefully bow out. You think that could be a possibility?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I think the big problem they're facing is who would replace him. Would it be Kamala? You know, I don't know. The question is whether she should be removed at the same time. She's not very popular with the Democrats. And, you know, when you touch on Epstein, you know, you go back to Robert Maxwell as well. You could go all the way back quite a ways to find a lot of this being built, put together the way it was built and set up like this. But, yeah, these people... Yeah, these people are into it. Hey, we're out of time, buddy. You know.
Okay, well, I just want to say Epstein got a lot of cash from Israel.
Yeah, he did, and a lot of other politicians as well. All right, man, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
Thank you. Stay tuned to RBN, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.